So tonight is my turn to bring this devotion to us, and I've entitled "When Life Falls Apart," and it's taken from Psalm 3. And I won't be going through or reading through this psalm, but as I go along this devotion, I will refer to every verse of the psalm. So let's begin. This Psalm 3 was written by David, and that's what the superscription of this psalm has written. It says, "A psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son." So here already this psalm gave the context of why David wrote this psalm. And as we know, if you were to read 2 Samuel 15:14 or chapter 15, Absalom has garnered a lot of his people and to make a cause of revolt against his own father, David. And here we see in verse 14, it says, "And David said unto his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, Arise, and let us flee, for we shall not escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly, and bring evil upon us, and smite the city with the edge of the sword." So here we have the context from 2 Samuel 15. And we know that David, because of his sins against God with adultery, with murder of Uriah, and also he tried to cover up with lies. So God brought a judgment against him. And at this time, God's judgment was on him. His chastisement was on him. And you can see the heart of David, especially when he's not just thinking of his own safety, but he had to flee because otherwise Absalom would smite the city if he were to resist Absalom's revolt. And he doesn't want the city or those civilians, those innocent people to die with the edge of Absalom's sword. So here we can see that he has fled and he cried out therefore to God, and he mentioned the reason why he has to cry out. Of course, God knows what is going on, but David knows God, and David realized that he cannot turn to anyone else. His servants cannot help him. Nobody else can help him but God alone. So here we can see the innumerable opposition, the enemies have risen up. And it says, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me." So things are falling apart for David ever since he turned away from God when he committed adultery and murder. And so here we can see David, although he was forgiven, but yet this trouble came. But he continued to have faith in God by praying, by seeking the Lord. He did not let guilt overwhelm him, but he knew he was forgiven. And that's the beauty of this Psalm 3. Even though he suffered the consequences of his sin, but yet because of being forgiven, being a child of God, being a man after God's own heart, he went back to God. He went to God and prayed to the Lord and said, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me." Of course, he knows God knows what is happening, but because of this relationship with God, he poured out everything to God. He cast all his burdens on the Lord. And here we can see that again he says, "Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God." So here the people are many, is innumerable, is incalculable. And this many is repeated in verse 1 and verse 2. And that shows how the enemies have increased. And not just that they want David's life, they want him to feel the tremendous guilt of what he has done. And they, to so much so that David said, "There which we say of my soul," instead of "we say of me," but "say of my soul." So he has pierced David's heart. So it's like when I was in the army, we learned bayonet fighting with the sword attached to the dagger attached to the rifle. We are taught not just to trust into the enemy, but after trusting, we have to turn the blade to cause more injury into the enemy. So this is what is happening. People are turning their bayonet, their dagger, after trusting him into his heart with these words. There is no help for him in God. Or it says there's no salvation for him in God. So they are basically saying, hypocrite, how can you claim to follow God when you sin against God? And they are mocking him, where is your God now? And some says that's the end of God's relationship with him, with you. And some even say, forget about God's promise that your throne shall be established forever. So all these words, there's no help for him in God, tells us about how David was receiving all these verbal attacks. And it is hard for him. And everything seems to fall apart. But we thank God that his prayer life is wonderful. He's still full, held on tightly to God. And therefore, you can see the immovable faith of David. He said, but, so this is a disjunctive. He says, but thou, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. So you can see David's faith was not swayed. He was immovable or unmovable. He cried upon the Lord. He called God, Lord, or Jehovah. So it's like us in the New Testament where Jesus said, call your heavenly Father, God as Abba Father. So this, O Lord, is like calling God Abba Father. And he prayed to God and acknowledged that God is a shield for him. That means God surrounds him 360 degrees with his protection. And a shield also means that nothing touches or no one will be able to touch David without God's permission, because God is a shield. So it's like this Job, the story of Job, how Satan want to touch Job, but he has to seek God's permission. So God is that shield. And it gives great comfort for us also that when things are difficult, when things are falling apart for us, trials after trials come like waves to us. Remember, God is a shield. Nothing touches us without God's permission. So we have this protection always from God. And he, despite David's losing his crown and being disgraced, David says, God, you are my glory, meaning that he identified with God's glory. Even though he's in the most humiliated and disgraceful state now, he identified with God. He continued to identify with Christ. And that's his identity. So this is a great encouragement also to us when we fear in life, when we cannot have that success that we expect in our business or in our work or in our studies. No matter what, we don't identify ourselves with the failures. We identify ourselves with God. So that is why David says, you are my glory. And he says, you are the lifter up of my head. That's the joy of knowing who he is before God, that God is the one who will always give him the joy. He will not put his head down in despair, but he will lift up, just like Paul says, when he is in despair, he will continue to stand up and will not be discouraged. So this David wasn't a Humpty Dumpty when no one is able to put him back again, but he's a roly-poly. He's able to stand up again. And David said or prayed, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice." So he personally cried out to God. He didn't assign anyone to pray for him. Sometimes we often assign someone to pray for us or seek someone to pray for us. But God delights to hear your prayers. God delights to hear you praying. And you don't have to let someone pray for you. You can pray for you. Of course, it's good to be able to have someone to be a prayer partner, but you yourself must pray. So David says, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill." So if you were to remember 2 Samuel, when this Zadok, the priest, carried the ark together with David to flee, David told Zadok, "Bring back the ark to Jerusalem and look at his faith." It says, "If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him." So you can see David's faith. Say, he knows where he is his place before God. If God's will is that he would be back to Jerusalem, praise the Lord. But if he has no delight in David, David also say, praise the Lord also, because let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. So that's why David has this great faith, and he therefore prayed, and he, in his heart, he knows that whatever God's will for him, God hears him out of his holy hill, and that is Jerusalem. Because the ark has gone back to Jerusalem. So this is David's faith. And even though Jerusalem and where he's fleeing to, he's separated by this geographical location, but yet he knows God hears him. So nothing can be a barrier or a wall between us and God if we look up to him with humility, with that sincere faith, to call upon him. So this immovable faith of David can be ours also if we were to simply trust in this God who is also our Lord. And after the prayer, you can see how David's response to the dangers surrounding him. And you can see that he had that incomprehensible peace, the peace that passes all understanding. And he says, "I laid me down and slept." David wasn't having insomnia. He wasn't walking up and down in the wilderness where he was, but he was being laid down. He laid himself down and he slept. To sleep in a dangerous situation means that he will be most vulnerable to enemies' attack. You have to remember when this Saul went after David, God caused Saul to sleep, and Saul was most vulnerable to David's retaliation of revenge. But you can see David here, when his enemies are increasing, Absalom is trying to destroy him, he was able to sleep. And why so? Because of the belief that God is his shield. So he slept very soundly and he awoke. He really slept and he woke up And then he declared, for the Lord sustained him. And so if the Lord is able to protect him when he was in the most vulnerable position of sleeping, he knows that God will continue to protect him even when he's awake now. So therefore he says, I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves against me round about. So that is the incomprehensible peace. That's why the Apostle Paul tells us, be not careful for anything, by everything by prayer and supplications. Let your requests be made known unto God. So that is how we should respond when things fall apart for us, that the Lord will always give us that sleep if we trust in his sovereign will and power. And verse 6 could have ended, Amen. David could have ended by signing off, Amen. But he knew that the danger is still there. So he uses the word arise, which, if you remember, this same word is used in verse 1, whereby the enemies arise to attack David. So he uses the word asking God to arise. And he also used the word save. If you to remember verse 2, he asked, they say that God cannot save him. He says, oh Lord, save me. So this save means it's the same word as Joshua, Yeshua. So he uses the same word, but he's taunting the enemies. You may say that I may not be saved. You are arising against me, but look, the Lord will arise against you and the Lord will save me. So that is his undefeatable or indomitable confidence. Arise, O Lord, save me. And O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone, thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Even though the enemies were like beasts with baring their teeth, snarling away, but God is the one who will destroy them. So again, he uses the same word, salvation, Yeshua. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. So he knows that victory will come according to God's will. He knows with confidence that God will be his salvation. And he's not just thinking of himself. He knows that his people whom he rule over will also be affected. So he implored the Lord, Lord, also bless your people. Bring down your blessings upon your people when salvation comes again. So this is David's faith, and that is how he responded when he faces trials, when things were falling apart or have fallen apart for him. Despite the innumerable opposition, he had that immovable faith, he had that incomprehensible peace, he had that indomitable confidence in God himself. So this is what Psalm 3 has taught me, and I pray that you will be encouraged by this psalm. So wherever you have trials, do remember Psalm 3. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks for this psalm of David, despite many dangers and trials and things are falling apart for him. We thank you for his example of his faith in you. We pray, O Lord, that we too would also have this faith and never doubting, knowing that you are God who cares, and Jesus is one who loves us to give himself for us. How much we are of great value to him. So I pray, Lord, that you will encourage our hearts as life is so difficult. We know that you are with us and will help us. So may we be encouraged always from your word, and to know that you are a God who will not leave us nor forsake us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.